Because they are not the problem. The problem is you're letting your quarterback get sacked 6 times, 8 times, 10 times, 12 times, 23 times in a season, and they're getting hurt. And then you're wondering why you don't have a great performance. You could have paid your quarterback a little bit less and get the man some freaking offensive linemen. Get the man some protection. How do you expect a quarterback to perform even above average? How do you expect a quarterback to perform NFL caliber when he's getting sacked 10 times a game?
Playoffs?
Guys, welcome to another episode of Gridiron Jabroni. I'm your host per usual, Kayfabe Kev, Podcast Kev. Call me what you want. I don't really care. Just call me the host of the show because that's a fact. This is episode 9 of the program, and we are entering the final weeks of college football. We are in week 11 of college football, and let's do some boy math real quick as we start the show. Boy math would indicate that the top 25 college football playoff rankings are out, and we're left with five undefeated teams in the playoff race. Let me just say that. Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington. That's going to be your five undefeated teams left in playoffs. And then six one-loss teams that are still in the playoff race. Other one-loss teams, including Tulane, but we're not talking about them. The six one-loss teams are Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Penn State, Louisville. Now, keeping the boy math going, we got five no-loss teams, six one-loss teams, only four playoff spots, and by the looks of this schedule, at least three matchups where these top 11 teams are going to meet up. And that's what we're talking about today. The playoff race. Of course, we talk about the playoff race every freaking episode, but it's heating up. The top 10, let's look at the top 11. The teams I'll talk about today: Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Penn State round up the top 10. And Louisville will finish at 11. All those teams are 8-1 or 9-0. This weekend, we'll talk a little bit more about it later. This weekend, you have Michigan and Penn State matched up against each other. And you have Ole Miss and Georgia. So two top 10 matchups to come. Tonight, you have Louisville taking on Virginia. Virginia has been heating up. Texas plays TCU. Quinn Ewers is back. There's a lot going on within the top 11, who I think, in all honesty, are the only 11 teams left in playoff contention, only counting Louisville because of what they can do to Florida State, only counting Penn State if they win this weekend. Ole Miss will probably lose this weekend. That's really what we're looking at. 11 teams still in contention when it comes to my opinion. I know I said only like six last time. I think I had 15. I don't know how many I had, but we're down to 11. Technically 11, in all honesty, maybe 8. 8 playoff teams left. Louisville will probably get eliminated soon. Penn State will get eliminated soon. This isn't a perfect world. No upsets. Assuming how everything's going to go down the way it should go down, we'll get Penn State eliminating themselves this weekend against Michigan. You'll get Ole Miss eliminating themselves against Georgia. And then Louisville will eventually lose to Florida State in the playoffs. So that's how we're going to assume that's the perfect world. That's how it'll go down. However, if we're looking at the college football playoff race, especially with all the Michigan sign-stealing drama. If I'm Penn State, the pressure that is on my shoulders this weekend is immense. Penn State takes on Michigan this weekend, and the Michigan sign-stealing scandal, look, we've been talking about it for weeks now. Fast forward, let's do a quick little brief. I'm not even going to – you're not watching the video, but my phone's down. This is just what I know off the top of my head because I don't want to talk about that. But I don't want to talk about that on this episode, but I'm going to give you a quick little update. So here's what I know. Connor Stallions resigns from Michigan after getting caught on video being incognito on the sideline of UCM week one against Michigan. I think Michigan, the Big Ten is essentially like, yo, we're going to investigate you, Michigan. Michigan's basically like, hey, there's a whole Google file shared with every coach that has all our information. It's basically like a leaked Google file that, you know, just has all the information of all the opponents and all the signs and all that. The whole Big Ten is cheating. They're just mad we could afford to send somebody to every game and they couldn't. Essentially, that's what's going on. So now it's in a weird spot. Apparently, Ohio State's been cheating. Purdue, I think, knew about the whole time about the science stealing. Michigan State, I don't know. All these teams are getting caught up stealing. Rutgers apparently was aware of the science stealing. Everyone's been stealing. Essentially, there's this Google file somewhere, this Google Doc, and all the shared accounts are like jim.hardball@gmail.com, ryan.day@gmail.com. All the head coaches are just essentially in one big Google Doc shared with each other. No, I think it is like a spreadsheet, though. And I think there is like a hard drive somewhere along the lines. I stopped kind of paying attention because it got a little too much. But that's your quick one-minute rundown of what's going on, what I know, and what you should know. That's the one-minute rundown of that. But if you're a Michigan fan, you're saying everyone does it, it's fine. If you're a Michigan hater, an Ohio State fan, a Big Ten fan, you're calling for Michigan's head right now. If you're a casual football fan like me, I'm chilling. I'm watching all this go down. It's tea. I don't know what else to say. It's just some drama. It's some spicy tea. It's probably the biggest scandal in, off the field in college football history. The best part is that everyone knows what's happening, though. It's not, like, a big deal. It's not – I mean, it is a big deal, but it's not, like, groundbreaking news. Oh, they got caught cheating. Everyone does it. I think the entire college football world knew that everyone does it. And at this point, it's kind of like, all right, snitches snitching on snitches. And you know what they say. Snitches get stitches and are a bunch of bitches. So the Big Ten is full of a bunch of bitches. Bunch of bitches who have three teams in the playoff race still. Especially, now here's a crazy hypothetical. Think about this. What if we get Michigan losing to Penn State this week, but beating Ohio State at the end of the year? What is that going to do in the Big Ten race? Michigan should win this week. J.J. McCarthy, I still have him in the playoff hunt. I'm sorry, in the Heisman hunt. I think this will be Michigan's first big test. I think Penn State, again, if you are, you know, the college football committee, if you are a Big Ten lover, a Michigan hater, you are watching this game this weekend, this Penn State game, all eyes on Penn State. You know what's going down. You know the pressure I have on them. And they need to win. This is a must-win situation simply because if Michigan loses this week, they should start to fall apart. That means they should get exposed. I think the college football committee will drop them really quickly. Like, no hesitation will drop them from the top four. And I think unless they upset Ohio State, we won't see them in the college football conversation anymore. College football playoff conversation. But if Michigan does pull off a win this week, I think this sign-stealing shit will get pushed back to the end of the season because the Big Ten is going to have a dominant team in Michigan. And if you're the Big Ten commissioner, if you're Big Ten, anything Big Ten, you know, big wise, whether it's financially, commissioner, whatever, you understand what Michigan winning the national championship can do for you. And while this is a shitty situation, I think you just ride with it for the time being, and you just look at the positives. You look at the positives of you have Michigan potentially winning a Big Ten championship. You have Michigan representing the Big Ten in the college football playoffs. And then you have the Wolverines essentially having a chance to win the national championship, which, again, in the long run with suspensions and all the sign-stealing allegations coming out, maybe it doesn't look so good. But for right now, if I'm anyone in the Big Ten, any commissioner, AD, you hope that Penn State wins this week. And if they don't, then you just ride the wave and you enjoy the show with the rest of everybody, because that seems like what's going to happen. I don't think Harbaugh gets suspended anytime before the end of the season. I don't think anything happens in anything in Michigan wise until the end of the season. I think, again, there's just too much riding for Michigan, especially with the chance of, you know, going undefeated. And you have a Heisman quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, a Heisman candidate quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. Let's just check up on J.J. McCarthy's stats real quick. Again, they do play Penn State this week, so I think a win from J.J. McCarthy this week and an impressive performance in a win will finally put him into the national Heisman race. Again, essentially just because the biggest teams they played this year are Minnesota and Purdue. Looking at the season, though, he had 18 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, 2,134 yards. Last week against Purdue, he threw for 355 yards and no touchdowns. His best performance of the season, Michigan State, 4 touchdowns. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. J.J. McCarthy, I think Penn State is one of the top defenses in the Big Ten. However, we saw what, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. was able to do against Penn State, and that receiving core, what they were able to do against Penn State. I think Penn State is an amazing team. I think the difference between Penn State and Ohio State was that Penn State didn't have Marvin Harrison. I think the difference between Penn State and Michigan is that Penn State just has the overall better offense. I think both of the offenses for Penn State and Ohio State were very above average. I think Marvin Harrison is just that X factor when you think about all that Ohio State offense. Michigan, however, they have just a lot of high-caliber players, especially with the Heisman quarterback and J.J. McCarthy. And I think that offense just overall is just a higher caliber of an offense in the Big Ten, especially when it comes to putting up points. You know what I mean? You saw what they did to Michigan State. And you can say that's Michigan State, but shutting out a Big Ten team is shutting out a Big Ten team, and I think that's impressive. So I think Michigan should run away with this one. I think J.J. McCarthy is the most consistent quarterback this year as far as, you know, 18 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Only one game with no touchdowns. I think J.J. McCarthy is the most consistent. However, a lot of people have been saying Jaden Daniels. A lot of people are starting to talk about him in the Heisman race simply because consistency. Caleb Williams has started to fall apart. Jaden Daniels, 27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the year, 2,793 yards. He does have the SEC West under his resume. He plays Florida this week. LSU will host Florida at 6:30 in Death Valley. Honestly, should be a good game. A 6-3 LSU, 5-4 Florida. The thing about Florida is that they, when they're hot, they're hot. When they want to show up and play, they will be dominant. And I think, you know, LSU Florida is one of those rivalries, those SEC rivalries that we see a lot. And I think Florida could show up and kind of shut up Jaden Daniels and the Jaden Daniels talk yet again. Last game for Jaden Daniels against Alabama, he threw for 219 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. His last big performance before that was probably Auburn, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. They do have 2 losses on the year, or 2 losses in the last month against Alabama and Ole Miss. Again, 2 teams that are in the race for college football playoffs. So being third in the SEC West isn't something to hang your head on. However, I think Jaden Daniels, while he does have this impressive stat line, you got to look back and see that he played teams like Army, where he hung up 3 touchdowns. Auburn hasn't been too impressive. I don't know. I don't want to hate on the kid. We saw what happened against Florida State, a real team. You lost against Alabama. You lost against Ole Miss. While I'm looking at the stat line, and that's impressive, if a quarterback can't win when there are quarterbacks out there who are winning and putting up just as good of numbers, example, J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, I think I would rather talk about them than talk about Jaden Daniels and probably going to be a four-loss LSU. Bo Nix on the season, I don't hate him. I think if you want to talk media hype, he is the most consistent quarterback this season. 2,723 yards, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. His only 2 interceptions coming last week against Cal and then against Washington a few weeks ago where they lost in that game, field goal winning, you know, game. Last week against Cal, he put up 386 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The thing that I don't like about Bo Nix compared to, say, Jordan Travis or even J.J. McCarthy is that, you know, look at Cal, 386 yards, almost 400 yards. Cal has one of the worst defenses, I think. I mean, obviously one of the worst defenses in the Pac-12, but they're just awful. 337 yards against Washington, a thing everyone's been questioning is Washington secondary. That one is impressive. I'll circle that one. 290 yards against Stanford. Again, Stanford's a pretty awful team, 42-6. 4 touchdowns. It seems like he's kind of stat padding against these bad teams. Again, you're playing great teams. You destroyed Utah, which was unexpected. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 248 yards. You're putting up above average looking stat lines against teams that you should. The difference is that he's stat padding against those teams that you should just dominate and be out of the game by the third quarter, you know? I like Bo Nix, though. I just don't understand the hype. I'm not a fan of the hype. This week, they are playing USC, another team that has awful, awful defense. In general, defense. I was going to say secondary, but in general, just an awful defense. Caleb Williams versus Bo Nix, another Heisman race. I think Caleb Williams is kind of out of the Heisman race, technically. Only reason I see anyone really talking about him still is simple media hype, you know, so you can hype up this 9:30 Oregon USC Pac-12 after dark game, you know. So that's where I'm at on the Heisman race. I didn't really write down a set list. I still like what's going on in Washington. I still like Jordan Travis out in Florida State. I think it's just the dominant quarterbacks. You're in a spot where, like, Michael Penix, I don't even know if he had a great game last game. Let's look up Michael Penix. Let's see his stat line. But other than that, I mean, you got Caleb Williams. He was awful against good teams with a mediocre defense. You have Bo Nix, who I said is just stat padding. Michael Penix plays Utah this week. An undefeated team in Washington, Utah looking to bounce back and kind of stay in the Pac-12 talk, at least. I don't know about the Pac-12 race. Last game against USC, he put up 256 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Against, again, a USC who I will still stand by is not a great secondary. The week before against Stanford, 4 touchdowns but 1 interception. 7 interceptions, 26 touchdowns on the year. He's the most realistic quarterback. You could circle USC, Stanford, question marks. Even the bad games against Arizona. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Arizona State, no touchdowns. He's on pace to have 4 games with no touchdowns. But again, he counteracts with 4 touchdowns against Stanford and 4 touchdowns against Oregon. Oregon being an impressive 4 TD game. Stanford maybe not the most impressive. I think he should have put up more against USC, if I'm being completely honest as well. But Michael Penix, I think he's still my fan favorite. He's still 26 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. One of the only few quarterbacks in the league with 3,201 yards, over 3,000 yards. Comparing that to Bo Nix and, you know, Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I don't even know where he's at in yardage. I would probably say about 3,000 yards as well. But checking that, 2,958, basically 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. the Heisman race is, it's in a weird spot, but I think a lot of these people, again, Bo Nix and Caleb Williams are going to eliminate each other. I think Michael Penix will test himself this week. The Pac-12 is just a sloppy spot when it comes to quarterback race, but that seems like where a lot of the quarterbacks are coming from right now. Jordan Travis, I think he just needs to keep doing his thing and have Florida State end up back in the ACC championship. But it made me think, thinking of Florida State made me think, how bad would a loss be for Florida State? Like, say can Florida State afford to lose, basically? Can they afford to lose at the end of the season? You have Miami this week, which you should win. You obviously will beat Northern Alabama. And then that Florida game is the question mark. Looking at the standings in the ACC, right now, Florida State, obviously 7-0. And then right under them, Louisville, sitting at 5-1 in conference. And then Georgia Tech, a game behind second place. Louisville definitely can't afford a loss. But Florida State dropping to, let's say, 8-1 in conference play. Florida State drops 8-1 conference play. If Louisville wins out, you can still see Florida State in the ACC championship, assuming they beat Louisville. They'll end the season at 12-1, essentially 11-1, 12-1 with the conference win. A 12-1 Florida State, looking at their past games, you have some dominant wins against Syracuse. You had a dominant win against LSU in the beginning of the season, a dominant win against Clemson in overtime. I don't know. I don't know if Florida State can afford to lose. Again, this is just a big hypothetical. I don't see Florida State losing. A lot of people are saying, well, what about, not a lot of people, but I'm saying, what about Louisville? I think Louisville is someone to keep an eye out on, simply because they only have one loss on the year, and that's against Pitt, they have one loss on the year. That's against Pitt. And I mean, look, Pitt sitting currently at the time, they're only 2-4, 2-3, 2-4 then. They play Florida State this week. They're sitting at 2-7. Probably will lose. So the loss to Florida State won't be as impressive. So Louisville, that might hurt Louisville, actually. I don't know. I don't think Louisville, they play Kentucky at the end of the year. I think Kentucky, Louisville is always a good game. Virginia is 2-7. You struggled against the last 2-7 team you played. I don't know what to tell you. Miami should lose to Florida State this week, and then Pitt will lose to Florida State, and then all these losses will just make Louisville look worse. So I think unless Louisville wins out impressively, like a 34-3 win, 23-0 win, that's impressive. If they can continue to upset all these teams and you upset Florida State, but that's no top 25 wins. Only one top 25 win all season, two against Duke and Notre Dame. I don't know. I'm not saying you could see Louisville even in the playoff race. I just think they're an interesting team to keep an eye out on, simply because they have, after that awful loss to Pitt, they have, you know, the pieces to upset Florida State. I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm just saying that is a possibility, and we need to keep an eye out on it. Let's take a look at some games this week. I don't have a lot to talk about as far as college football. This week, I know we have Louisville playing tonight against, I think, who did I just say, Virginia Tech. I got rid of the schedule already. But, yeah, they literally play tonight, so that'll be a good game. Other major games just to take an eye on, or look, keep an eye on. We'll do predictions later. No interesting Friday game. Saturday, I talked about Michigan, Penn State. Michigan, a 4-point favorite. Sorry, 4.5, 5-point favorite. 11 a.m. game. It kind of feels wrong to have this as an 11 a.m. game. I'm not a fan of the Fox noon kickoffs. Another big game to look at is Maryland, Nebraska, keeping the Big Ten East conversation alive. Both teams are 5-4, and Nebraska's kind of starting to heat up. They did have that embarrassing loss to Michigan State last week. Michigan State, a 3-6 team. But that was following a 3-game win streak. So Nebraska could bounce back, end up winning the last three. You would still have to beat Wisconsin. But a beating Wisconsin and beating Iowa could put you into the Big Ten. I'm sorry, the Big Ten West. I don't know why I said the East. Could put you into the Big Ten West race. It's a lot of ifs. Obviously, if ifs were like candy, every day would be Halloween. But Nebraska still has a chance. They're starting to heat up. The program's starting to change or flip it around following a terrible beginning of the season, you know, losing to Minnesota and Colorado back-to-back. I like what Nebraska's doing, kind of. I kind of like the direction, the new coaches. I don't know. I've just been keeping an eye on them, and I think Nebraska is someone to keep an eye out on. Against Maryland, a game you kind of need to win as far as Big Ten contention. James Madison plays UConn. James Madison should move up to 10-0 after this game. It's not a game I'm saying you should watch. It's a game I'm saying you should keep an eye on James Madison because they will be 10-0 after this game. Sam Houston finally got their first win last week. Sam Houston State beat Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State was 2-6. Sam Houston won 24-21 to win the game. First program in FBS. First win for the program since joining the FBS. Other couple games to look out for this week. I have Minnesota, Purdue. Minnesota, again, right now, currently sitting at number 2 in the Big 12 West. Went over a 1-5 conference, a 2-7 overall, 1-5 in conference. Purdue, we'll just bump them up to 4-3. I don't think it's something, you know, that'll shake up the standings, but I think a 4-3 Minnesota gets you one step closer to a possible Big Ten championship appearance. Northwestern has been really impressive. They play Wisconsin this week. Northwestern obviously being a bottom-of-the-barrel Big Ten West team. I don't know why I've been so stuck on the Big Ten West. I think it's really because of Northwestern, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, all teams that have been interesting to me in the last few weeks. The last few games, Northwestern obviously lost last week to Iowa, 10-3, very much an Iowa-Northwestern game. Before that, they were coming back. They were making a comeback. I think they're kind of playing for playoff contention. However, I could see Wisconsin struggling with Northwestern and a loss to Northwestern, which is very plausible if you're Wisconsin and the Big Ten West being as competitive as they are. I think a loss to Northwestern if you're Wisconsin will really shake up the standings considering Nebraska could win, Minnesota could win, and kind of move up the top three. Iowa this week plays Rutgers, a 6-3 Rutgers, who I think is, you know, a team to keep an eye out on. I think if they're in the West, Rutgers would be running the West right now. However, you're behind Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, which are three powerhouse teams in the whole country. So if I'm Iowa, I got to keep my eyes on Rutgers. Don't circle this as a win. I think Iowa plays awful offense, and I think Rutgers has a decent an average offense, which I think is enough to bunk up Rutgers this week. I'm sorry, to bunk up Iowa. So I think the Big Ten West, again, whoever wins the Big Ten West, I don't think is going to win the Big Ten. But it's a fun race to keep your – if you're a football man like me, if you're a football fan, you love seeing the conference races, and that's a good one to look at. Other than Big Ten, a few more games to look at this week that just kind of keep my eye on standings. Arkansas-Auburn. Arkansas is currently 3-6. Lucky ass win last week against Florida. I think if they would have lost, we would have saw Sam Pittman gone. I think Hugh Freeze is prepared for offense. I think prepared for Arkansas in their offense. I think if you can again shut down KJ, you'll be fine this season alone. KJ has not been too impressive. 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, so one interception for every 2 touchdowns. 1,800 yards last week against Florida. 255 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Against Ole Miss a few weeks ago, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And then 2 weeks ago against Mississippi State, he only had 97 yards. So KJ Jefferson's has been, you know, very wishy-washy. I think Auburn could win, and I think we could see – Arkansas is the favorite, but I could see an Auburn upset And it would put Auburn into bowl contention. I think it's something Auburn needs. I'm going to give you my full picks later, but that's it. Georgia, Ole Miss, Cincinnati, Houston's an impressive one. Texas, TCU, Quinn Ewers is back. Duke, North Carolina, this should have been a top 10 matchup. Both teams kind of fell apart. And then USC, Oregon. Again, we'll go through the picks in a little bit, but that is all I have for college football talk. I want to move on to NFL talk. This is going to be a shorter episode, by the way. I don't really have a lot to discuss. NFL. If you're a football fan, like I said, you love watching conference races. But if you're a real football fan, I'm sorry. You're going through a gauntlet that is going to test your football fanness this year. And that's starting tonight. Panthers, Bears. The 1-7 Panthers go to Chicago to take on the 2-7 Bears. That's your Thursday night football game. You wake up on Sunday morning, the first game Sunday morning. 4-5 Colts go to Germany to take on the 2-7 Patriots. And then after that, you got a normal slate of games. You want to end the night off Sunday night. Let's end the night after a long slate of games. The big game Sunday night. 4-4 Jets take on the 4-5 Raiders. And then to top it all off, Monday night football, the big fun Monday night football game, you have the 3-5 Broncos heading over to Buffalo to take on a very disappointing, a very underwhelming 5-4 Buffalo Bills, a team that should easily be 4-5, 3-6, some could say. So, yeah, it's a very upsetting primetime games for really everybody this week. Bears and Panthers, the Bears need a win. The Panthers just doesn't really matter. I don't really know. The Bears need a win this week as far as the number one overall pick, considering that they have the Panthers first round pick. So the Panthers getting worse would help the Bears. But the Bears still need to be bad because they still have their pick. It's a whole mess, a whole whiteboard of just confusion if you're casual, if you're a mark. Germany game. I'm getting really tired of waking up at 8:30 every fucking Sunday on my day off to watch a football game, especially if it's going to be a game like this. Honestly, last week wasn't that great of a game. Chiefs, Dolphins, the Chiefs looked okay. I think we're kind of hyping up how good the Chiefs looked and how bad the Dolphins looked. I think they both looked okay. It wasn't a great game. This game's going to suck. Mac Jones has been awful. Mac Jones didn't cost the game, but last week against the Commanders, they should have won. They were driving down the field, but Mac Jones threw that stupid interception. He was trying to force things and just force passes that with receivers who can't catch. The Commanders, who have no defense, somehow held Mac Jones in the Patriots to 2-7. If, let's just say this hypothetical because everyone's kind of been talking about it, if the Patriots fire Bill Belichick, what's next? Or, let's even just bring this up, are the Patriots going to fire Bill Belichick? Is that even an option if you're the Patriots right now? Do you owe Bill a season or two of fixing the team, considering he got y'all 6 rings? Do you fire Bill as the GM and just keep him as head coach? Do you fire Bill and does somebody pick him up, like possibly the Raiders? Considering Tom Brady is a partial owner, Bill Belichick's, you know, maybe his time in New England's done. Maybe New England's dynasty reign is completely over. And Bill still has some coaching in him, but he's just tired of Robert Kraft. What if he's just tired of it and he's ready to go and he can't do anything with Mac Jones? But his good old buddy Tom Brady, who's like a partial owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, needs a head coach. McDaniels is gone. All signs lead to Bill Belichick in Vegas? Could be. I'm just saying. And it would be really good for the NFL. It would be really good for Vegas as a city. The dynasty, I think there's a fan base there. If you want to believe in the NFL scripted, I think this could be a good sign. I'm just saying. The Jets and the Raiders, two of the worst offensive lines in the league. Something I wanted to do. I have top 5 worst offensive lines in the season so far. No particular order. I just want to talk about my top 5 off the games I've seen. The top 5 worst. This isn't the best. Obviously, you have some great offensive lines out there. But these are some miserable offensive lines. And obviously, first team to talk about is the team that we all saw last primetime game, the Jets. What happened to Zach Wilson was group homicide, it felt like. It felt like that offensive line, maybe there's no morale behind Zach Wilson. Maybe that offensive line isn't as bad as we're thinking. But Zach Wilson, on the year, first off, only has 5 touchdowns. 5 interceptions, 5 touchdowns. But it's kind of hard. Let's just say this. It's kind of hard to throw any touchdowns when you're sacked 8 times. They were sacked 8 times against the Chargers on Monday. Last week against the Giants were a pretty awful team, sacked 4 times against the Giants, 5 times against the Eagles, 4 times against the Broncos, and surprisingly twice against the Chiefs. Zach Wilson, just do the math, the last 3 games has been sacked 17 times. 17 times that man has been on his back in the last 3 games. Last week he threw 33 for 49, 263 yards, but no touchdowns. Can you really blame the man? He's throwing 200, almost 300 yards, 67% completion rating, which isn't amazing. It's not awful. He's averaging about 65% and averaging about 200 yards. He's had some bad games against Philly and Denver, but, you know, 260, 240, 186, 189, 245. He's not doing bad. Can you, like, Zach Wilson isn't great, but can you, the offensive line sucks. It's a god-awful offensive line. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's another example of Zach Wilson as far as, like, not great, but, like, that offensive line sucks. I don't know what to tell you. The Raiders, obviously Jimmy's not starting anymore. We all know that Jimmy's not a starter. But let's take a look at his primetime game a few weeks ago. How many times was he sacked? I watched that game. It was a miserable game against the Lions on Monday night, their last game. Jimmy Garoppolo was sacked 6 times. Back in September against Pittsburgh, 4 times. Green Bay, 3 times. Jimmy Garoppolo has not had he got pulled as a starter. He wasn't the greatest quarterback, but 6 sacks 6 times. 4 times in one game. 3, like, the man is getting, these quarterbacks don't have an opportunity. All signs are pointing to the quarterback. And obviously a quarterback is easier to trade in and out than an offensive line. But let's not forget about how awful the Raiders offensive line is. Jets, Raiders, Patriots. Again, Mac Jones is bad. Maybe the reason we're not getting rid of Mac Jones and Bill Belichick so soon is because the offensive line is pretty awful. He wasn't sacked at all against Washington, but that's also because Washington got rid of their 2 best defensive players. But against Miami, he was sacked 3 times. Against Las Vegas, sacked 3 times. Against Buffalo, sacked once. Against New Orleans, sacked twice. In the last 5 games, he's been sacked 9 times, which isn't as much as Jimmy G, not nearly as much as the Jets, not nearly as much as the next team I'm going to talk about. But, I mean, it's not good. It's not great. If I had to rank them, this would be like the 5th worst, probably, offensive line. They're a pretty bad offensive line, enough to question, I think. Let's move on to number 4. I think one of the worst offensive lines, and the reason that their quarterback is out for the season now, Daniel Jones. Look, Daniel Jones is not great. Did they overpay? Sure. You can say they overpaid him. But come on, man. Let's just look at the stat line real quick. You can't put all the blame on Daniel Jones. You can't put the blame. 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions all season. Not even 1,000 yards. He tore his ACL or something. He tore something. He's out for the whole season. But can you blame him? Last game against the Raiders, sacked twice before getting hurt and going out. The game before that, against Miami, sacked 6 times. Seattle, 10 times. San Francisco, twice. Arizona, 3 times. You can't blame Daniel Jones on, you can't put all the blame on Daniel Jones when the man can't take a 2-step drop without getting absolutely demolished by a very okay, above average Seattle defense. A Seattle defensive line that's pretty good. No Legion of Boom. They're okay. I don't hate them. Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, Jimmy G, whoever you're going to put behind center for Vegas, they are not the problem. The problem is you're letting your quarterback get sacked 6 times, 8 times, 10 times, 12 times, 23 times in a season, and they're getting hurt. And then you're wondering why you don't have a great performance. You're paying Daniel Jones millions. Amazing. You paid him maybe a little bit too much. You could have paid him a little bit less. You could have paid your quarterback a little bit less and get the man some freaking offensive linemen. Get the man some protection. How do you expect a quarterback to perform even above average? How do you expect a quarterback to perform NFL caliber when he's getting sacked 10 times a game? How do you expect a quarterback to flip the team around and flip the morale around when the offensive line is not allowing him to take 2 steps back before he gets sacked by Aiden Hutchinson 8 times in 1 game? Another prime example, but this team's actually decent. Deshaun Watson. The Cleveland Browns have one of the worst offensive lines I have seen in a long time. However, they're balling, man. I can't hate. Let's check out Deshaun Watson. Looking at his stat line real quick. Against Arizona, he was sacked once. Against Pittsburgh, back in September, he was sacked 6 times. Against Cincinnati, sacked 3 times. Against Tennessee, he was sacked a couple times. He's not. All right, let me not hate on the man. He's not. The offensive line isn't the worst. They're not the worst, but they're not great. The only difference is their defense is pretty good. Their defense is keeping this team alive. But Deshaun Watson is probably in the same position as Daniel Jones and Jimmy G. Maybe Daniel Jones. Maybe Jimmy G. Let me say Jimmy G and the Raiders. Because Deshaun has weapons. Deshaun has receiving weapons. Daniel Jones doesn't. That's the difference between Daniel Jones and Jimmy G, is that Jimmy G had the weapons. Daniel Jones doesn't. Deshaun does. Yeah, I think that's a pretty awful defensive line. I kind of overreacted by saying the worst defensive line in the league. But they're an example of a really bad offensive line that you're not putting all the blame on Deshaun because he has weapons. And I think, you know, Sam Howell is another perfect example. The Commanders sacked 3 times against New England, once against Philadelphia, 6 times against the Giants, 5 times against Atlanta, Chicago, 5 times. And that's the thing. Statistically, the Commanders are the worst offensive line in the league right now. The reason I didn't bring them up, and the reason no one ever really probably thought about them, unless you're a Commanders fan, is because the Commanders are winning. Sam Howell isn't having an awful, you know, awful season. 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,400 yards, basically 2,500 yards. 23-year-old quarterback. The difference between him and Jimmy G and Daniel Jones is that he has Terry McLaurin. He has Brian Robinson in the backfield. He has weapons. Other than Saquon, I know technically you have Sterling Shepard and all that with the Giants. Other than Saquon, who do you have? Other than Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs. Jimmy G. Look, Davante Adams, who is awful. Sure, they probably stepped it up. The Raiders have probably stepped it up. They're probably going to step it up. Maybe you could blame it on, just Josh McDaniels and all the problems that were going on over there, whatever. I don't know. My point is, Washington has weapons, and they're doing okay. No one's talking about their offensive line. The moment you took Davante Adams away from the equation, the Raiders were all the talk because they have no weapons. Daniel Jones all season, no weapons. Honestly, Dalvin Cook, underwhelming. You take the run game away, you shut the run game down. There's not a lot of weapons out with the Jets right now. It doesn't matter who you put at quarterback. And I honestly, I'm worried for Aaron Rodgers. He's trying to come back so fast. I'm worried for him because there's no weapons and there's no offensive line. You're gonna go out there just to get hurt again, and that's honestly my biggest worry. The whole morale of today's episode, there's no weapons. There's just no weapons. And if you have no weapons, you have more pressure on you. And if you have no weapons and no offensive line, you look like ass. And you're gonna blame the quarterback. In reality, it should go, obviously, you need a good quarterback. You need a great offensive line. If you have a bad offensive line and a mediocre quarterback, that quarterback is going to look bad. For any offensive line you have, the quality of your offensive line, take that quarterback and bump him down a step. So, for example, Sam Howell, good quarterback, no offensive line right now, bad quarterback. Deshaun Watson, above average quarterback, pretty great quarterback, I would say. I think Deshaun's a great quarterback. I'll say it. Pretty bad offensive line right now. He's a good quarterback. Daniel Jones, they paid him. Look what they did. They paid him. They gave him the money. He looked like a great quarterback last year. Take last year with a great quarterback status. No. Maybe we're overreacting. Put him at good. He's a good quarterback. He's an average quarterback. With that offensive line, we bumped him down 2. He looks awful. Zach Wilson, okay quarterback. Awful offensive line. Terrible quarterback. Do you see the trend here? Today's episode is all about you need a good offensive line if you don't have a great quarterback. You need one or the other. Obviously, ideally, you want both. You need one of three, technically. You either need a great offensive line, a great quarterback, or a great receiving core. You need one of the three. And if you don't, one of the three technically receiving, but you need one or the other. You either need a great offensive line with a mediocre quarterback, or you can have a great quarterback with weapons as long if you have a mediocre offensive line. And we see that with Cleveland. Mediocre offensive line, mediocre quarterback, good weapons. Good weapons, good quarterback, mediocre offensive line. They look great. They look amazing. Their defense is stepping up. That's what you need. And that was Offensive Line Talk with Podcast Kev. That was Offensive Line Talk with Gridiron Jabroni. And that is literally all I had to talk about. That's the only rant I had for this episode. So let's move on to the final segment of the episode. And that's picks. Let me give you 4 college and 4 pro. That's right. We're doing 4 college, 4 pro this week. Last week, I got a little crazy with the money lines. I won't do that this week. I want to be normal. I want to be average. And we're going to start with college. For college, right? Give me Northwestern, Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 10-point favorite, so give me Northwestern plus 10. I like the underdogs. I'm not saying Northwestern can win, but I've been talking about Northwestern for the last few weeks. They're starting to heat up. They're playing for bowl eligibility and the fact that, like, you know, it's a step in the right direction. You're playing for bowl eligibility. I think a win over Wisconsin will shake up the whole Big Ten West, but I think Wisconsin obviously is the better team. They are at home. It is a 2:30 game. I think Northwestern they have the pieces to upset Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is the favorite, though. So give me Northwestern plus 10. I think, if anything, Northwestern will keep it close. Auburn, Arkansas. This one, and I know I bet it against Arkansas last week, but I'm going to do it again. Give me Auburn money line. I think Hugh Freeze. I think Auburn knows what they're doing out there. I think Sam Pittman's, it's his time is coming. The time for the fire Sam Pittman chants are coming, and I think it comes this week with Arkansas losing to Auburn. Arkansas is only a 2.5-point favorite, so might as well take Arkansas is a 2.5-point favorite, so might as well take Auburn on that. Ole Miss, Georgia. I think Georgia, 10.5-point favorite. Ole Miss, we saw last week, they don't look great. A&M doesn't look good. And it was a close one against A&M. I think everyone can universally agree A&M looks bad. And they kept it close. So, Ole Miss heading into Georgia. This is going to be Georgia's first kind of real test. Other big games, you know, Vanderbilt scored 20 on them. Missouri kept it close, almost upset them last week. I think Georgia, 10.5-point favorite. I think this is the time of the year that, you know, you got Brock Bowers back. time to step up. It's time to put your, you know, put the pedal, foot to the pedal, foot on the gas. And I think a 10.5 point favorite, give me Georgia minus 10.5. I think they should win by more than 10.5. I think it's about time we lose Ole Miss into this continuous playoff talk that we always see them in, or the SEC race that we see them in every year. I think it's about time we get rid of them, and I think Georgia will do that for us this week. So give me Georgia minus 10.5 at home against Ole Miss. Texas, TCU, I think Texas finally brings back Quinn Ewers. I wasn't going to bet on this. I don't ever really bet on Texas. Give me Texas minus 12, 4-5 TCU. This is getting a spotlight game over a team that, like, isn't good. TCU isn't good. I don't know why Texas is getting the spotlight game. It's also, if you look at Texas, they're heading to TCU. The last time they had a road game, technically Houston, back in October, the last time they left Texas, Alabama, out in September. All the road games, Baylor. You went to Dallas to play Oklahoma. You went to Houston to play Houston. You're going to Dallas to play TCU. You do play Iowa State in Iowa. Your only second game this season that you're leaving the state of Texas before coming back home and playing Texas Tech. So, I don't know. Something you're not going to see next year when they join the SEC. Something to keep an eye on. But 12 points is a lot. Give me Texas minus 12. I don't think TCU is good. I think this is going to be a spotlight game. Yeah. Give me Texas minus 12. Finally, Florida LSU. Florida 5-4. LSU 6-3. Minus 14 point favorite. Give me Florida plus 14. I like the underdog. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm saying they're going to do enough to keep Brian Kelly at question. Keep his coaching position a little questionable. Jaden Daniels, I'm tired of this talk. Give me two interceptions on Jaden Daniels. I just want to see LSU fade off away from all this hype, the media hype. We're ranking them high at 19, which I think is high. I think it's very high for Florida. For an LSU team that has three losses, there's more deserving teams. So yeah, give me Florida on that one. So my picks college wise, my four college picks, you're gonna get Texas minus 12. Give me Florida plus 14. Give me Georgia minus 10.5. Give me Arkansas, Auburn money line, and then give me Northwestern plus 10. That was five picks. I know I said I was only gonna do four, but I was just feeling generous. I was feeling good with that Florida one, and I was feeling good about the Arkansas one. I'm just feeling good about these four games for you for the NFL before we wrap this up. Commanders, Seahawks. Seahawks are a 6.5 point favorite. Give me the Commanders minus 6.5. I think it'll be by 3 if the Commanders lose. Jets and Raiders, I think the Raiders have turned it around. The Raiders are underdogs in this one. The Jets are 4-4. The Raiders are 4-5. Both teams have a pretty bad offensive line. I think the difference maker is that the defensive line, and I think the Jets have the better defensive line. However, minus 1 is nice. Give me the Raiders minus. Give me the Raiders money line on this one. It's probably a toss-up, though. Fuck that. Give me the Jets minus 1. Give me the Jets minus 1. Jets minus 1. Give me the Commanders plus 6.5. Lions and Chargers. Detroit is a 3-point favorite. Give me Detroit minus 3. Detroit should run away with this one. And then my final pick of the week, Titans, Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is a 1-point favorite, but the Titans have Will Levis. And I'm saying it's too soon to hype up Will Levis, but I want to see them beat the Buccaneers. So give me the Titans money line, and that'll wrap it up. Titans money line, fuck it. Titans money line, Raiders money line, Commanders minus plus 6.5, Lions minus 3. That's my picks for the week, and that's all I have, guys. We're about to hit an hour, so that's perfect timing. A lot of just jabbering, a lot of yapping today, a lot of just yapping my little gums all day. But that's it. That's all I have. That's really all I got to say. Thank you guys for listening. This is episode 9, episode 10. We'll be 1 week closer to conference championships. A lot of shakeups, a lot of potential shakeups this weekend. Somebody's getting upset, and the question is who? Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Podcast Kev. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Gridiron Jabroni. Follow us on TikTok, Gridiron Jabroni, Kevin Durant's twin, whatever you want to call it. That's all I have, guys. Don't forget to send us DMs. Let us hear your voice. Be heard on the show. I'm tired of everyone saying I want to be on the show. Well, then send me some questions. Send me a voice memo. Send me something. I'm letting you be on the show. All you got to do is send it in. DM us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. Don't forget to follow us. Tell your friends. All that good stuff. Thank you guys so
playoffs.
Much.
Talk about playoffs. 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 You got barbecue back there. Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.